about to start days.
Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We're continuing now with the 69th chapter and the issue as the time, and we're going in Rabbi Toledano's Sefer. It's called Ba'ayat Kadmus Ha'olam, the question about the eternality of the world. Okay, so we're discussing a machlokes between the philosophers and the religionists. We're going to call God the Siba Rishona, the first cause, or to call him the Poel, the active one, so to speak. And the Rambam says, really, neither one solves the problem. It's just a semantic issue. So now the Rambam is going to continue and give his position and show what's wrong with the Mutalkim. So Beis, okay. Ha'alokim hu sibas hakim. Hashem is the cause of things that exist. Hamutalkim chashishu. The Mutalkim were concerned. They didn't like the term Siba, the cause. Why didn't they like the term cause? Ach lamaisa hu ena gorer behechrech es kabbalas hatiza shel kadmus ha'olam. But lamaisa, it doesn't have to pull with it, so to speak, the idea that the thesis that the world was eternal. Have philosophim hishtamshu b'munach zeh, but they used that term, v'lo b'munach poel, and not the one of being active, b'klal hanimuk haba, for the following reason. Okay, turning the page. Hamunach poel, when you talk about the action one, eino ela achas me arba sibe shel kol etzem chomri. That's only one of the four causes for anything that is physical. Okay? That is the poel. And we said that the poel is the agent, the efficient cause. Remember we had over here the carpenter. So the idea of the poel, it's only one of the four causes that exists, which is, what are they again? Chomer. Chomer is the material cause, the wood. Okay. Tzura,
the designer.
And poel, which the is worker. The efficient cause. Yeah. And tachlis is the final cause. Okay. So those are the four. So now, ho Elohim, apia philosophim, God, or that first cause, whatever you're going to call it, according to philosophers, vaharambam, maskimi tomas, and Rambam agrees that all these four definitions that the philosophers used are proper definitions, hu ha-poel shel ha-olam, that God is the one who is the poel, the one that's actively making, or the agent, the efficient cause, the carpenter, okay, for hu tsuraso, but he's also the tsura,
the designer,
for hu tachliso, and he's also the final cause. Lachain ain lachanosa b'munach achel kipol. So you just don't call him a poel.
It's very limiting.
Right? That's only one little name of it. Aval b'munach hakolel. But when you use the overall term of siba, the cause, shekolel es kol sugei hasibos. When you call him the siba, what is he really? All four causes. And that's a much better definition over there. Okay? That is the critical point. So when the Mutalkim only use the poel, so that's not really so good. It's excluding a lot of other things. Now, what's the problem of calling him the poel? Meaning to say, well, he made it when he made it. Aye, but so what about before he made it?
Yeah, then it was.
That's the problem with the Mutalkim. Yeah. Because is it a potential? They're saying, well, he can do whatever he wants whenever he wants. Mm-hmm. So what does it mean? Well, there was God, and then later he is the actual poel, and he makes it happen. He's the efficient cause. So you're going to say that God is the efficient cause. Well, that means there was nothing before God. There was nothing there before God made it. So then what happened? God added something that wasn't there beforehand. He changed his mind, something like that. So therefore, he didn't like what the Mutalkim had to say. But And therefore, and the Mutalkim didn't like what the philosophers had to say, because if you're going to say that he's the primal cause, that means he had to have existed to be the primal cause, and that means the whole world would have to have existed at the same time God was, and they really felt that that was pantheism, to say that God and the world has the godliness from the beginning of time. Okay, and that you don't want to say that as well. So we said the Rambam already worked his way out of it, because when we quoted this whole discussion, we talked the difference between essence and existence.
Right.
So we're saying that God, the whole essence, was there the whole time.
But the existence was not.
Okay, so this is where he's not like anybody, so to speak, the Rambam.
Well, he's like the Torah.
Okay, yeah, well, he's like the Torah, but not like the philosophers, not like the Mutalkin.
Okay.
So now, let's go through and describe how Hashem is all of these things. So let's now go to the next side of the page on 305. So, Hashem hu ha-poel ha-rishon. Hashem is the first poel. Hashem is the first efficient cause. What does that mean? So, arba hasibos ha-nisker le'el, these four forms of causes that we mentioned, Mimakomos betoch sulam asibos, from the place on the ladder of the causes, lamashal, for example, hapoel, okay, the poel, the efficient cause, yeshlo poel. In other words, the efficient cause. What's the efficient cause? Is the hammer.
Yeah.
Is the hammer. Mm-hmm. What's exactly making the table? The hammer. Mm-hmm. Okay, but that poel has its own poel, which is the carpenter. Right? Va'osa poel, yeshlo poel. And the carpenter has a cause for the carpenter.
Hashem.
No, his parents.
Okay.
Oh.
His teacher, who taught him how to be a carpenter. V'chein hola, and further and further, at shemegim l'pol arishon, until we come to the first poel, which eventually is God. Okay. So there's nothing, so therefore, when we say, we're talking about the efficient cause, so this is where we make a difference, we call it the idea of the proximate cause versus the ultimate cause. So therefore, Hashem, you know, may not appear to be the proximate cause, but Hashem is the ultimate cause. But the truth is, he's even the proximate cause. Mm-hmm. But you're going to see he's more than that. But at least on one level of understanding a cause, right? Hashem is the cause of all causes. So he's the source of all efficient causes. Okay. Now, Sulam Hasibos, this ladder of causes, Chayiv Lehayatzer B'Sivrishon, has to stop at the first cause. You have to get to the beginning of the story. V'nei Kishem Shemin Yachsim L'Sibah Rishona Es HaTotzah HaChrona. We have to relate the initial cause to the final result. Right? We say that Hashem is a poel for the world. Look in the brackets. L'mashal. Shumashiva ruach umarida gasha. Hashem brings the wind and the rain. He's rofei cholim, etc. Alvisha totzos hasofis nigrama al yedei shasheris tzivos. But eventually, it comes to a number of things that happened before that.
The chain that came.
Hashem created the
cascade,
healing.
But maybe the cascade effect coming down. This affected this.
Yeah.
Like a domino.
So who healed you? The doctor did. Mm-hmm. Okay. Who made the doctor a doctor?
Etc.
Etc. Etc. Besulam Hasibos, when you have the ladder of causes, Yeshivas Krovos, there's proximate causes, Vesivas Rokokos, and ultimate causes. Haruach Vanan, let's say the wind and the clouds, Hena Sobus HaKrovos, that's the closest ones to rain. And rain. Yeah? Hashem, but Hashem is the most ultimate cause. So this all works for Hashem very well. There's nothing wrong to say that God is the first of all causes, but we're going to also have to remember that the Mutalkin didn't like that because of him. Well, he did that before other things came into existence. That's going to be changes. Well, there's nothing wrong with saying God is the ultimate first cause. You just have to add a little more into the story over here. Remember, one of the biggest problems with the causes was with the carpenter story. If the carpenter could die and the table is still there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so maybe that's the same thing with Hashem. That Hashem could die and the world could still be there. No, that's why we need other things about Hashem to fix that up. Okay. Now, Dawid. Hashem hu hatsura harishona. Mm-hmm. Hashem is the first formal cause. That was the picture here. The thought of making the thing.
Right.
Right? The thought that gives the what it's all about, what you're doing with the material. So what, that's the same thing. Kamochein kol tochnios novas v'tochnos shekadmo lo. All programs start from previous programs before that. Okay. V'chein hola. Right. And shum game l'kodesh baruch until you get to Hashem. Shum tochnos ha-tochnos, which is the program of all Torah programs. U'balodav shum dover l'hayim iskam. Without that, nothing would happen. And that's what it means. Chei ha-olamim. Remember we had that problem before? Chei ha-olamim. It's who chius ha-olam. He gives life to all the worlds. And that life is that surah. It's that formal design. Okay? So that's also coming all from Hashem. And now we come to what we call the final cause, the tachlis. Hey, Hashem hu ha-tachlis achrona. Hashem is the final cause. Kamochein l'chol matara yesh matara. For every goal, there's a goal. L'mashal. Matras mechashev. What is the goal of a computer? Masuyim, a certain type of computer. What do you need a computer for? He laharitz alav ivud tamlilim. It's to run word processing. Just one type. To run word processing. Okay, so you got like most not skilled people with a computer. There's a million things to do. Most people just use it as a word processor or a calculator. Right?
Solitaire.
There's so many things you could do with it. I'd say the majority of people use it as a word processor. Yeah, okay, either way. But now, okay, so why does it have to be a word processor? Materis, even that tamlilim, the reason why it's a word processor, who klitas textim the itzuvim, it's to capture texts and design. Going to the next page. Materis, so why do I need to have texts? Materis, klitas textim the itzuvim, why do I have to now have texts and pictures? Hulu marshal chas formal, let's say to make a book, to publish a book. I'm a taras atzah svarim, lo'ori. Why do you have to make books? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I guess to educate people. Or to make money. Either way, that's what I have to make money for. So now we can continue the spiral. Or to educate people. Why do people have to be educated? Mm-hmm. So we have a productive society. On and on and on and on. But nitzareich l'sayim eshasheres ha-mataras. But where's going to be the end of all those goals. Shezer Ritzono Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the will of Hashem. Now, we could flex that a little bit. Ultimately, that's what Hashem wants. Okay, now, why would Hashem want certain things to happen? Ultimately, if you're going to play this game, the table. Okay, let's go with the table. So you got the table. We had the table so people could eat.
Yeah.
Right? Comfortably. Like a mensch.
Yeah.
And then what do? You bench.
You're like a bench.
Why do you bench? To give honor to God. The world was created to give honor to God.
You're saying you're eating, saying brachas to give honor to God too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. You're at the table, so you can eat, so you can make brachas. Eventually, it always gets...
to give thanks, not just honor, but thanks. Yeah.
Whatever it is, but what's thanks mean? Mm-hmm. Why do you have to thank Hashem?
Gratitude.
Why do you have to have gratitude to Hashem? Because you ultimately have to recognize that Hashem is the source of everything. And you have to recognize He's the unifying force of all existence. And from a spiritual perspective, that becomes the end of the game. Okay? And the will of Hashem is the final cause. Now, if you could just turn back the page, of the footnote on the page before is the Rambam's example. You see point 4?
Yeah.
He says, "Hadug Meshevi Rambam l'shasher samataras." We have a chain of events. Hadug Mesekise. He uses the throne. Humana sheva chulius b'shasheres. He lists 7 links to the chain. So let's look at a throne. We're talking about a king's throne here. Matas v'shenahu l'shavaslov. First goal is for the king to sit on it. Okay. Sheila, question. Ma tachlis, why does the king have to sit on the throne? The answer is that the king should sit higher than everybody else. A king's throne is higher than everybody else. Right. Okay, number two. Why does the throne have to be higher than everybody else? So that the person sitting on it will be honored. The guy who sits higher than everybody is more honored.
Right.
Okay, why do we have to give him honor? So people will be afraid of him. Why do we have to be afraid of him? So they'll listen to what he says. Well, why do they have to listen to what he says? So they shouldn't damage each other. Well, why do they, what's the point of not them damage each other? So what? So you can have a civil society. Well, you can give different answers to it, but that's the way the Rambam does it, to say that final cause. Okay, so then we're back on the last page again. So now we have to come to the final one. Now these three, the Rambam is very clear that these all apply to Hashem. Now, the last one, the Poel, which, no, I'm sorry, Poel is also good. Poel is the proximate cause. So Besikum, in conclusion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who Poel, he is the efficient cause. V'hu tsura, and he's the designer. V'hu tachlis, and he's the ultimate goal. L'chein karo ha-philosophim siba. He's called the cause. Makes sense. Very good, he's a cause. L'umase hamunach poel, we just say poel alone, lo daishu chelki b'tir yachzik v'yad. That, first of all, it's not good, it's only a partial explanation. Shigam v'sukh is also dangerous. If you're only going to say he's the Poel, okay, which is that efficient cause, which is the hammer,
yeah.
It's dangerous. Okay, muach zemeniach ki ha-pe'ula, that would seem to say that that action, yechol lahamshich liskayim, which would continue to have its effect, acharehi alam asapo, after the cause is gone. The efficient cause can be gone, the carpenter can be dead, and yet the thing exists. A computer can exist long after the creator of the computer died. Maskara kazoo, now that is going to make a problem. If you're only going to see that Mutalkim only called him a Poel. They only called him a Poel. Seeing a Poel, well, what do you think a Poel is? A worker.
Right.
Guess what? The worker could die and the thing is still there.
Is.
So Hasik Bitiv Shuso, and therefore in their foolishness, they said, Echad Amutalkim Shikava Ki Ilu Yala Das Heder. Could there ever be that the Creator doesn't exist?
Wow.
It would not mean that the world would no longer exist. It could still exist without him. Oh boy. Miskamazuyos Nahona. So they didn't want that. Now that could be true. Ilu Haboyharak, if God's only a Poel. If he's only a Poel, then, oh no, it could be the world, God could die.
True.
You know, that's what it said. God is dead. He created the world,
and
now he's dead.
Yeah.
So that Mutal said, we don't want to have him be that. We want to say that he is the, that's the problem with the Mutalkim. All right? But since he's also the program and the destiny, and he has all the other parts. There's the ultimate cause and all these other things. Rishulu Rak also, and he didn't only make the world. Elagam Mekayim Oso B'Hasmada. He keeps making the world at all times. Okay. Look at point five. Okay, at the bottom footnote. Hashem Utsura Sa'olam V'Tachliso. Hashem is the Tsura, the one who is the formal cause, and Tachliso, the end goal. Efshe litos b'dimei Rambam, you might make a mistake in the Rambam.
Mm-hmm.
You might think that God is only the formal design and the ultimate ending. If that's all he is, then he could be part of the world. Or like the world itself. And that's the shitas of the pantheists that the Rambam is pushing away. But when Hashem says he's the Tzura Sa'olam and the Tachlis, he understands that Hashem, the world longs for Hashem, because Hashem creates it in his image. And now that you have all the other things there, then you cannot make this kind of mistake. Now, what does the Rambam not really focus a lot on? What one of the four things did the Rambam not describe Hashem as? He did not describe it as the Chomer.
Right, the substance.
He did not describe it as the substance. Now, would he not agree that it is a substance? Well, right now, he's trying to get us very far away from us assuming that he has any corporate reality. So even if we're going to say he is the cause of the substance,
yeah,
it sounds too corporeal.
Yeah.
So he doesn't want to say it straight out. However, even though he's not going to say it straight out, he is going to mention it in the next chapter.
Mm-hmm.
In chapter 70, we're going to discuss that idea where he is, but how he is that material cause. It's not that he is the wood, but rather he sets a stage of events. And this is what's going to lead us into the next chapter, that the philosophers, they understood there was a supreme power. And the supreme power could not be described. But the question is, how does the supreme power create a world? So they already hopped in their scientific mind. They believed were different spheres of existence. And starting with the most ethereal spheres of existence to the ones that are more tangible. Okay? So you've got like the solar system is the lower spheres. But there were higher spheres.
Mm.
It's almost as if they're machaving to the spheros.
Silos,
or the four worlds.
Right.
But they understood you have something that is so unimaginable, and then something a little more imaginable. And they said there were 7 or 10, it's machlok is what they held. So therefore what's happening is that although the first cause is not a material cause like the wood, but it's a cause for the cause for the cause for the cause for the material cause. Okay? That's what they said. And we're going to see that the Rambam says that that's also true. And that's what's going to make Hashem being that material cause as well. And he's going to do this by discussing a new topic, which is defining the term rochev. We see that God is, he rides on the worlds.
Well, we took that before.
Yes.
It was one of the previous chapters.
Did we?
Yeah, we took
I don't think we did Rochev.
We did riding.
I don't think so.
Okay.
So we're going to discuss how riding fits in. And when we discuss that, then he's going to come to the end of the Merkava to discuss that. So let's leave it at this for now. And tomorrow we'll go into the next chapter. So we're done with 69. And Mirza Shem will start 70. Tomorrow.
So what does the word actually rochev mean?
Literally means to ride, but we'll see the other meaning is going to dominate, and we'll explain how it all fits in tomorrow. Okay.